Kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino. Pakinggan niyo pa ang kwento sa sbs.com.au/filipino. Kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino.
Dessa Santos, a singer at medyo kilala siya sa Filipino-Australian community dito sa Sydney. Good morning, Dessa.
Good morning.
Yes, you're here to share some of your journey for 2019 and towards to 2020.
Yeah, that's right. I got a few, so I hope you guys are ready for it.
Yeah. Okay. Firstly, you've been very active in the community prior to this year. You've been singing around events, isn't it?
Yeah. So basically, just to give you a short run through, I started when I was, 13 years old?
Mm.
And did Elsa Culada found me. That's when I was started singing for competitions and everything. And then I kind of went down for the modeling pathway when I was still 20 kilos lighter. But so then I've been active here and there, like supporting the Filipino community. If there was a celebrity that comes in, then I'd be able to do a front act for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But with singing, is there anyone in the family who sings? Because I know your mom has been in the program for a few times, mm-hmm. because she's busy with the Filipino-Australian community of from the Eastern Sydney.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so look, my family, they're very into music. But my mom, I know she was singing back when she was in her younger years, back in the Philippines. But my sister, my mom did the pageantry stuff as well. I think it kind of just run down the line, to be honest. Yeah.
Okay. So, you just graduated this December. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Feels great.
Now a registered nurse.
Yeah, a typical, no. No, a lot of Filipinos get the degree for registered nursing, which is great.
Yeah, your mom is.
Yeah, my mom, she's been a nurse for 20, 30 years now. Everyone in my family is a nurse. So my sister is an educator in a hospital nearby. My partner's a nurse, I'm a nurse, becoming one, getting my registration, so.
It's in the blood.
It's in the blood, and to be honest, if I was to be just straight up blunt, I think it just runs down the Filipino community.
Yeah.
Everyone that you speak to must be a nurse or a doctor.
Someone in the family is a nurse,
That's right, yeah.
But this wasn't your first choice, isn't it?
No. So, okay. Look, when I was in high school, my first pick was always to become a detective or a police, which I honestly think I got it from my dad, because my dad was an undergrad police in the Philippines.
Yeah.
So my mom being a nurse, like, I totally understand where they're coming from now, which I didn't before when I was younger, because I was just thinking about myself. So it was more of they wanted to for me to do nursing because it's a secure job.
Yes.
Especially if it's in demand in Australia. So, I was trying to kind of convince them in a way that I didn't really want to do nursing.
Yeah.
But, so they just said, look, do whatever you want, but still at the end of the day, I know her. She's going to keep bugging me about becoming a nurse. So I was like, look, I'll do nursing for a couple of years and see how I go. If I don't like it, I'm going to drop it. Or if it's just not really for me, then I'm going to go switch back to New South Wales Health. To the police course. Because I actually was looking up already, for the fitness course. Because there's a lot of training and stuff for police. So you have to go to Wagga Wagga for 3 months and all that training and stuff. Yeah.
But you kept studying nursing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
so
finish it, actually.
It's crazy. It's been a crazy
ride
for 6 years. So what happened was I started studying high school, and then unfortunately I did not get the right ATAR to get into university straight away,
because
it was pretty high. So I had to take a bridging course from UWS College and Foundation of Nursing, which took me 1 year. That was in 2014, and then I jumped to university.
Yeah.
At that time, I feel like, when you just jump into university, and I'm pretty sure there's a lot of teenagers that can actually relate. Because, you feel still so lost. Like, you just get kind of thrown into the real world. Even if it's
a big campus.
Yeah.
Lots of students.
Yeah, that's right. So it's like, I was just trying to kind of find my way. Like, I don't know where I was going to go or, like, if I'm going to finish the degree. Because in the first 2 years of the course, I was already feeling like, this is not for me. Like,
I don't want this.
Clinical placement was a bit kind of out of my personal, you know, the things that I want to do, like, you know, taking care of elderly. Don't get me wrong, it's great, but it's just...
It's not for you.
It's not for me.
Yeah.
So, because I tried keeping open to my parents, like to my mom, to my dad, to my sister. They told me to just stick to it because you only got 1 year to go.
Yeah.
So, I thought I would be able to because at that time I was studying full-time and I was working full-time.
Wow.
So...
It's hard work.
Yeah, I was basically...
And you're busy with the Filipino events as well.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I had to kind of choose because you can't do everything at the same time. So, like, even if I loved singing... And sometimes it was just too hectic because it got to the point where every weekend I would be booked to perform somewhere. So I was failing units and you know, it's not the best feeling because it kind of brings you down, especially with my dad. He's a bit very strict because like back in the Philippines, like we're from Tondo and like they kind of have a standard of if you fail, like... That's not really good.
Yeah.
So,
like there's a standard that you have to make it good.
Yeah. Like, it's not even like it's okay. It's like you have to. But I think my dad kind of got in, like, you know, changed his perspective a little bit. But I thought that, I think he mentioned it to me once where he said he thought I stopped studying because I was working. Because the whole time since I started working and studying at the same time, I was paying everything for myself.
So it's I can earn now even without studying, sort of that thinking.
Yeah, but the thing is, I never settled for just that, like, for that job. Like, working in retail is... It gives you money, but it's not the best, especially like, you know, low income, like the minimum wage. It's pretty hard to kind of balance, like especially like if you have bills to pay and everything else. But yeah, like in saying that, like I did experience a lot of great lessons, like throughout the whole 6 years studying and wanting to give up. There was this time where... I was already in third year and I said to myself, like, look, I can't do this anymore. Like, maybe I need a gap year, which my mom and my dad was, well, my dad not really because I didn't tell him.
Yeah.
But my mom was heavily against because she said, like, what's the point of stopping? Like, you can just keep going with the studies, which is right, which is now I understand. And then now that I was in third year, I was almost great, like almost done, but I still had placements to go.
Yeah.
I found that I was pregnant.
Yay. Yay and whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was honestly a mixture of emotions because since the beginning of the year, I've really wanted to have a kid. I've really wanted to have a baby, but I just couldn't obviously tell my mom and my dad because... I know what they're going to say.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure you know what other people are going to say.
For most Filipino parents, it will be like that. Yeah.
It's a typical traditional, no, do your studies first, get married, get a job, travel, and then...
Do it the Filipino way.
Yeah. So, like, look, I understand where they're coming from.
Yeah.
Because now my whole mentality shifted. Like, it's just, you think about your son, you think about your daughter, like, what they have... about to have in the future. But I guess like the lesson that I'm trying to say is as long as you can do it, like you know to yourself that you can stand by it, push through, just do it because they can only guide you. Like, and this is what I struggled with, like with my whole teenage life almost, is that I find like I had no control to what I wanted to do.
Like, there's always someone telling you to do something.
Yeah, exactly right. So it's almost always like, do this, do that nursing, do this nursing course, don't do policing because even if that's what my heart is telling me to do.
Yeah.
But because I wanted to make my parents happy, so it's like, yeah, I'll do it for them. But obviously, like, I wanted to put their wants first before mine.
Yeah.
So But I'm glad, like, I did nursing, because at least now I've got something to fall back into, just in case that I don't, you know, get successful with the career that I want to take, or...
Which is
still in the line of detective work, but I'm leaning towards forensic science now.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking of taking another course maybe in a year or two after experiencing just, like, working on the floor as a registered nurse. And, yeah, hopefully we'll see how we go from there.
Your journey of telling us from what you have experienced to the time you graduated is not really easy, because you were very open in your Facebook, sharing about someone bullying you, someone saying something about you, not finishing on time. What did you tell them?
Okay, so look, I know people are going to hear this, and I'm so sorry, but it needs to be said. Like, I'm not hating on the Filipino people. I love my Filipino culture. Don't get me wrong. That's where I grew up. Like, but what I'm trying to say is, I think it's about time that the elderly or, like, anyone that grew up in the Filipino culture needs to kind of have an open mind that not everyone will have the way that they want it to be.
Yeah.
Especially for the elderly, because, like I said, they have such certain standards. Like, for an example, you have to have a degree or some sort to be able to be good enough for their child.
Yeah.
To be able to fit in a family. You know what I mean? Because when I fell pregnant, it's almost like people were looking at me as if I'm going to have I'm going to be in death row.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to be, like, hanged, or I'm going to die. Which I think it affects your mentality, like, really, like, massively. As a first-time mom, like, you don't know what's going to come your way. You're very inexperienced. Like, you can never learn from a book. Like, this is very different from...
It's not...
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure, like, everyone's pregnancy journey is different. But for some people, it would be a lot harder than what it is for other people. For my case, I've had so much complications. Not a lot of people know, but I was struggling with my mental health. Because at that time...
Because you were also thinking of what people says to you.
Yeah, like, even if you try to be resilient and just try to, like, get back up all the time, it's kind of hard because you're very vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Like, you try to adapt everything that you can learn, trying to prepare for your first child, if you know what I mean. Like,
yeah.
But from what I experience, it's a lot of people that, they probably don't mean it the wrong way, but still, what they told me was, it's going to be horrible. It's going to be, your life is going to change.
You're unprepared.
Mm-hmm. You're unprepared. You're so young. Like, even if I know that there's people that, you know, that did it as a single mom at a very young age of 17. And hats off to all single moms out there, like, really. Yeah. They're doing an amazing job. And I can only imagine the struggles. But, like, in saying that, there was a lot of experiences in my case too, where they would say weight gain, but they don't know the complications that I was on.
Yeah.
So weight gain of a person could be caused by certain medications, situations. I was on medications. So I was on a hormonal medication.
It's one of the causes of your complications.
Yes, right? Yes, that's right. So I was, by 17 weeks, I was, and until now, I had a few trips of the hospital, like, here and there, to be admitted. Because 17 weeks, I bled. At 8 weeks, I bled. 17 weeks, wow, I bled. Yeah. So I thought I had a miscarriage. So it was really devastating because, you know, like, I was really scared to tell them. But thankfully, my parents were okay. And, like, they were pretty happy with me having a child now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there was a time where I was admitted and I had a blood clot that's the same size of a golf ball come out from me.
Yeah.
That's big. So that's me being 17 weeks. That's, you know, I thought it was something that's it.
Mm.
I have to be kept in the hospital until, how many days? And then after that, I got in better for a bit. What I thought, they found a polyp. So my polyp was hanging from my uterus out of my cervix. So technically, my cervix is
open.
So it's
affecting the baby inside.
The baby... It could possibly, because that's a very, like, it's still very sensitive because baby's too young. So what they said was, if something was to happen, they can't save my child. So imagine just put yourself in my shoes and like you're having that mentality of like you're always on the edge, like you're just very anxious all the time. And like after that, I was admitted again for 23 to 24 weeks because they just found out that my cervix inside has opened up already, which it's meant to be closed and long. So mine was, it's shortened. So normally a typical cervix would be measuring at 3 centimeters long.
Yeah.
Mine was only holding on 9 millimeters short. And it already opened up by 24.
It's like the baby's ready to come out. Yeah.
But it's, so if the baby was to come out, the doctor told me up front, the survivability chance would be pretty low. So it's, And apart from that, like, apart from the whole physical challenges, there's a spiritual challenge. There's a mental challenge. Like, you know, like, as much as you'd want to get support from everyone, I found that I had to find out the hard way. Like, with religion-wise, like, I know a lot of Filipinos are Christians or Catholic, and, you know, I believe in God too.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like they're very stuck with that mindset of, oh, you're not married, your son is not going to be blessed, and your son's going to grow up as a bad person.
Mm.
It hurts to hear that from someone. So, like, as much as you want to respect them, it just kind of, when it comes to your own child, you become very overprotective.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I had a problem with that. And look, as much as I want to resolve things, I think sometimes it's better off to stay away from stress.
Mm. And also you have your own challenges that you have to deal with.
Yeah. So on top of that, I was trying to manage university stuff, the graduation stuff, to get my registration, all the other bills at home.
Yeah.
Trying to plan marriage with my partner, like because a wedding, we're engaged, but we're still trying to plan a wedding and stuff.
Yeah.
And also the pressure from everyone else. It's just a typical thing, you know, like, oh, you're having a kid. When are you going to?
Especially because many from the Filipino community know you.
Yeah. So it's almost like every time I'd go out to an event, the first thing you hear is, wow, you're so big.
Yeah.
Wow. Are you carrying twins? Like, you know what I mean? And it's like they don't know the things that they say, how can it affect someone else?
Mm.
And it's like for them, because I feel like in Filipino culture as well, or not even just Filipino culture, I feel like this, what the social media portrays nowadays, it's you have to be physically nice to look at.
Yeah.
You have to be a size 8, a size 6? Is that the normal size now? I'm not too sure.
No, I'm not. It shouldn't be.
Yeah, honestly, like, I feel like even if I want to, I feel like it's going to be a struggle to change everyone's mindset. Like, at the end of the day, you just have to be strong and you just keep going with it. Because, look, now, I didn't realize, like, what 2019, like, all of the problems that I've had, it's actually the biggest blessing I've ever received. Because not a lot of people see it, like, a lot of people would just say, oh, you're so blessed. Like, you graduated, you're having a kid and all these things. And don't get me wrong, I'm very thankful for it. But at the same time, they don't see the responsibilities. They don't know because
it's a big one.
Yeah, they don't know what's going through your shoes. Like, if you were to be that person. And another thing that I was saying about the graduation and the pregnancy, as you can probably read on my Facebook post. There's a lot of people that, especially for the teenagers now, there will be the right people that you need to surround yourself with. It's not easy, but sometimes, even if you've known the person the longest and they're not trying to help you, because sometimes you will grow old and unfortunately you guys will kind of just drift apart.
Yeah.
Because you guys won't mature the same way. Like, especially if you're having a family now.
Yeah.
You can't be doing the same things that you were doing before.
You're on the different level
of
priorities.
Right. Yeah. And I feel like for the friends that surround you, if they really, truly care about you, they will be happy.
Who do you hold on to during those trying times?
Honestly, the times that I was seeing a psychologist and a psychiatrist regarding my mental health, because it's pretty heavy, but I did have a history of major depression. And I know, like, in my background, in my dad's side, but back then, they didn't believe in mental health.
Mental health, yeah.
So when I was trying to open up to my dad before, because there was signs and symptoms. As a nurse, you can tell.
Yeah.
Like, I started being forgetful. Like, I know you forget things, but yeah. That's because, yeah, when you study mental health, you'll know. But, yeah, he just said that, oh, look, probably just a face or something like that.
Yeah.
But for all the parents that's listening or that will be listening to this, my tip is to never ever brush off what your son or your child says, because you never know what they're going through. It's hard to open up to parents because sometimes they feel like they're just going to get rejected. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's pretty heavy. So like at the times I was seeing a psychologist and psychiatrist, I had intrusive thoughts. I have OCD. I have a general anxiety. And I also had fleeting thoughts of suicide. So that was my first trimester. So this is what I'm saying regarding about, like, people don't know what
you are going through.
Yeah, and
or someone is going through.
Yeah, like they don't know how it affects someone when they say, even if it's just a joke. Like, so a lot of people, especially for my family, because like it's tough love. Like, come on, Filipinos.
Yeah.
They always say something about, oh, the weight. Especially if you're pregnant, you get so sensitive. Like, you want to be like your old self. But obviously you can't help it because you're growing another human inside of you. So the person that I held on to the most was my partner. Yeah, so hats off to him. I don't know how he does it. But good job. Yeah, so it's good because he's got experience in mental health. He's a nurse as well. So he's very supportive, and I feel like, honestly, out of everyone, he was the most that could understand me. So, because he was very open to mental health as well, and you know, like now I'm glad that I feel like my family, like my mom and my dad, and they became supportive when they saw the nurses come to my house.
Yeah.
So because I was calling Lifeline, I was calling Lifeline to just help me out because I was just. The things that's just coming to me it's just not good.
You're lucky having a partner who has a background in mental health or who knows about mental health. But it would be harder for those people who are going through something, who doesn't have someone in the family or know someone who really don't have anything about mental health.
Yeah.
What would you say to them? Because you mentioned about Lifeline, so there are organizations, services that can help, right?
Yeah. So look, honestly, there's nothing bad with seeing a psychologist. I think that's another stigma.
Yeah.
A lot of cultures or a lot of people that sees nowadays, where they think if you're seeing a counselor, psychologist, or psychiatrist, something must be wrong with you. You must be a schizo, which is not, because as me. Someone being exposed in health, same as my partner, same as my mom, it's actually really beneficial. Like, it helps you tackle all of your childhood problems. It helps you, there's something that I've learned with the psychologist. It's almost like a one-on-one lesson. It's not like, you know, it's not like, oh, you're going through problems, anxiety, depression, whatnot. You must be in the hospital. It's not like that. Yeah, I think one is to always be true to yourself. If you are feeling some type of way, like if you feel like you're getting thoughts which isn't normal for you, write them down. I think write them down, keep it on your phone, or open up to someone. Because the worst thing you can do is like keep it all to yourself. That's how you explode. Two, save the numbers, Lifeline, Google them. 3011-14, yeah. If you're becoming a registered nurse like me and you don't want to be seen by the people that you're about to work with, call New South Wales Mental Health Line, because that's what I did. And go to your GP, honestly. But some GP I know, try to get into services and organization. Headspace is a great one for people under 25.
Yeah.
So it's government funded, so which is great. There's one for pregnant ladies like me, Panda. which is good. And there's a bunch, and there's a whole lot more organization out there that's willing to like help out.
It's very important to really talk to someone.
Yeah, very important, because imagine if I didn't, who knows where I'd be.
People might be thinking that, oh, this is hard or heavy stuff that we're talking about. But we want to share this because we want for people to learn from what you have experienced and gone through, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. So don't get me wrong, like sharing my stories, I know a lot of people would say might be doing it for attention.
Yeah.
Because that's what people get all the time if you were to say something about mental health or physical struggles. But it's not that. It's more of the people, it's more of the lessons that they can get. Like, what can they get out of it? I feel like I'm glad that I went through whatever I went through, because otherwise I wouldn't be able to reach out to you guys. And yeah, like, just be headstrong. I know sometimes, don't get me wrong, I still get anxieties nowadays.
Yeah.
And it can get out of control. But there's techniques like be mindful, mindfulness, practice your meditation, or like do everything that you can, be healthy, try to do whatever makes you happy. And always remember to not surround yourself with people that's just gonna kind of bring you down and not be helpful, because you can be what your friends are. That's what they say.
It's also important to find positive in something.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, yeah. So like I said, like, it's hard to mention because people are just probably when I walk out, I'll probably get shot. But yeah, like, just stay positive. Look, everyone's not perfect. There will be ups and downs to everyone. Yeah. And I've seen that firsthand, and I had to experience it the hard way. Even if the people that you're kind of expecting to be there for you the most, they're the ones that's going to run first.
Away from you.
So it's like, I reckon the best way to live life, honestly, for 2020, whatever's to come, is just to not expect anything. Because 2019, oh man, you've been hella like crazy, man. But look, we're here now, and I'm glad that it just made me stronger, a lot stronger.
SBS Filipino, ibahagi niyo mga kwento sa Facebook. I-like, i-share, mag-comment, sundan ang SBS Filipino sa Facebook.